Welcome to the Divine Feminine CEO. I'm your host, Rachel Lowenhertz, and this podcast is your portal into yourself, your place in the world, and how you desire to show up as you. This is a place for you to be sovereign, to make change, to master your destiny, and create a life that's crazy aligned with who you're meant to be. But who is that? And how do you manifest her? Enter my love and discover. Welcome back, my dears, to the Divine Feminine CEO. I'm so happy to be here today because we have a very special guest. Today, we're going to be talking with Carrie Hummingbird all about awakening your truth as a mother and healing the mother wounds that hold us back. Now, Carrie is a soul guide and she's the host of the Soul Nectar Show. She's also an international best-selling author of several books. Her books are The Second Wave, Transcending the Human Drama, and Awakening to Me, One Woman's Journey to Self-Love. And her bread and butter is really inspiring people to live their lives wide awake with authenticity, with passion, and with purpose that positively impacts others. She catalyzes mind shifts that transform life challenges into gifts of wisdom. And you know, that's in my wheelhouse, and this is why I love Carrie. And her newest book is already a number one international bestseller, and it's called Love is Fierce, Healing the Mother Wound. And that's really what we're here to talk about today. So Carrie, welcome. I'm so delighted to have you on the show.
I'm so grateful to be here, Rachel, and to have this conversation with you and with your audience. And let's open up some insights.
Yeah, absolutely. And for those of you who have taken the Mother Change quiz, and if you haven't yet, please go take it and find out your type. Carrie is a fellow Phoenix mother, which I could have guessed from the moment that I met her. But Phoenix mothers are the ones that really embark upon this journey of self-healing, self-discovery, because we truly transform into someone different. And in many ways, we step into the full potency of our power when we do become mothers. So Carrie, you are a mother. I would love to hear a little bit about your motherhood initiation and kind of what it awoke in you, because I know it was a lot.
Yeah, I love this. I love what you're saying. And I really enjoy taking your quiz and finding out that I was a Phoenix mother. Of course, I kind of already suspected that because of just how I know my journey's gone. And for everybody listening, the place I am in my motherhood right now is that my sons are 22 and almost 19. And so that's kind of where I'm at with their development. And so when I started, though, I was so awkward with my body, I realized in retrospect. Like, I was just so uncomfortable with my body. And, you know, my sexuality was really uncomfortable for me. And I didn't really know why exactly, but I just knew I felt awkward about all those things. And I got a partner who when I was 22, that I felt like, okay, this is workable. Like, I like this guy, you know, it's kind of quick when we get together and it doesn't challenge me, make me too uncomfortable. Like, so I can go with this person and we're friends, you know, so there's like this friend energy and I really liked that. And we had a lot of fun together. And then we decided to get married. And what was interesting was that my mom was silent when I told her I was getting married to him on the phone. She was like, oh, and I thought, you know, what is she seeing that I'm not seeing? Because I wasn't seeing it. But we just had this dynamic that was a repeat of my early life and my mother's early patterns in relationship, because she had three relationships. She actually had my birth father, who she left pretty quickly once realizing he was going to lead me down an interesting path, potentially some molestation there if I stayed. And then she got into a dynamic that was very, very argumentative. And so that was the dynamic I was in, but I didn't even know it. I didn't see it because I was such a pleaser. I just didn't see that was what was happening to me. I was disconnected from my body, right? So my intuition was cut off from me. And I was insecure in myself. And I was just kind of in this relationship where We had a lot of fun. So it had the looks and feel of a good, you know, partner. But what happens with motherhood is that things go deep. They go really, really deep. They go well beyond fixing things by having a nice meal out on the town. They go to places where the level of support that you need as a woman is like an ocean of support. Mm. And when you're married to somebody who's kind of used to fixing things by the poolside, that doesn't really, that doesn't give you what you need. And it didn't give me what I needed. I needed to go deep. And it was also uncomfortable for me because I needed to expand. And I needed to open and I needed to be vulnerable and I needed to cry and I needed to feel. And all of these things were a big problem in our relationship because that made me bigger than him. Like, I was no longer tiny, small, neatly aligned and coiffured and like the perfect arm piece. I was this messy, uncomfortable thing in his life that, and I couldn't explain why I was feeling all the things I was feeling. And so I found myself in a lot of psychotherapy. Psychotherapy had been introduced to me at 15 at my previous initiation into being a woman. My parents were like, well, we don't know what's going on with her, but a lot, so let's put her in psychotherapy. So that was actually a gift for me because it was something I could touch back to get support. And I wanted to have the perfect pregnancy. I wanted to give the perfect birth. I wanted to have everything be like sunshine, rainbows, and beauty, and gardens, and flowers, and like this awesome photos you see of your children and your babies with their cute little feet and everything. And I wanted that reality. And I got the screaming child reality. I got the I'm inside of myself depressed reality. The I don't know what to do with myself reality. And the partner that didn't know how to support me. So it's been a journey, and you're definitely so right on with that Phoenix mother journey of realizing this is my awakening. Like, I'm here to be Earth Mama. I'm here to hold the space for not only my children and myself, my family, but also like as many as want to come to be held, nurtured. I mean, there are times when I do retreats when I have a client just lie on me. Because what they need is touch, and they never had anybody willing to just let them lie on them, like just be held, be arms around you. And that's what this experience of motherhood has opened me up to become. And it's been a dark night of the soul journey. It has been a dark night of the soul. And the sun started rising about 10 years ago. And I finally said, you know what? I need to leave this marriage and become who I'm meant to be and start following that and listening to myself.
Wow. So, Carrie, I feel like you just perfectly described the journey of the Phoenix mother. And it's really, really interesting to hear you reflect back to me some of what's been true about my own experience. Because when I look at myself and when I see many of the women that I work with, on paper, we all look super successful before we become mothers. We have the jobs, we have the bodies, we have the perfect partners, we have the homes, and everything looks really rosy. And then suddenly we welcome this spirit into our body, we pull them through onto the earth, and suddenly all of those systems and structures that felt really good before, they don't fit anymore. And I've had women describe this like suddenly they go back to work and it's like a shoe that doesn't fit. Because they're not the same person anymore. Because we are cracked open, and suddenly what's inside wants to come out and wants to be larger than life, wants to be larger than it was before. And I love the way that you described feeling like you were supposed to still be small from when people looked outside in. But that's not what is needed when we start to tap into our true self. Because I really do feel like pregnancy and birth and motherhood, it absolutely cracks us open. You know, we need that support. We can no longer maintain that pretty picture because the reality is things are hard, they're exhausting, they're messy. And when we strip away all of those layers, well, what are we left with? We're left with our authentic selves. But I think for so many of us, it's the first time we really start to come out.
Yeah, and it's so amazing how the experience of birthing and even like having, like, I remember when I felt my baby for the first time inside my belly, and he was distinguishable to me as an energetic. And I was not conscious, like, at that time. I was not conscious of my energy. I thought I was a human being, like, just like all one solid thing. I didn't know I had all these aspects. I had no idea. But I still felt the distinctness of his energy coming into my body and his consciousness and this awareness that he was, like, listening to everything I was thinking, feeling, and experiencing. And he was somehow also participating and experiencing it too. And when I look back, knowing my son after this lifetime with him, you know, just 22 years, I look back and I say, oh my gosh, this soul is actually a healer. That's who he is. And so when, as soon as he came into me, merging his essence with mine, he started helping me to heal. And what is healing but to see all the things where we're wounded that we've been hiding and suppressing and not looking at? He came right into my body and said, look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this. Over here is this thing. He just started helping me to untangle myself so that I could understand myself better. And to me, though, it felt like awful, right? Because I don't want to know all that about myself. I'm trying to love myself through this, like, this picture. I'm creating this picture on the wall, like this happy family portrait. I am not creating, like, healing. Okay. Like, I don't want it to be messy. I want it to be beautiful. And now I've learned how to, that the mess is the beauty, but it took me a long time to accept that it had to be messy. And really it took me leaving that paradigm, that relationship that needed it to be so tight and, like, in certain ways so that I could expand and be as big as I need to be.
That was so gorgeous. I wanted it to be beautiful, but it was messy. That's the perfect encapsulation of motherhood, because I think we do come in with these expectations of ourselves, and Instagram reinforces it. You know, we live in a society that really celebrates youth, celebrates the pre-baby body. And so we immediately feel this pressure to go back to that perfect little picture. And let's be honest, I think that before we have kids, it's a lot easier to maintain that picture because we have time. We have energy. We don't need the same resourcing and support. And suddenly when we are growing and caring for a new life, as you said, it's like we need an ocean of support. The needs are greater. And so we don't have the energy to put on the makeup all of the time. So we have to get used to being our authentic self. But I think that when we strip away those layers of protection, you're absolutely right. We have to look at all the parts of ourselves that are unhealed and messy and that maybe we haven't truly loved. So I feel like this is a perfect segue into the mother wound. And you kind of alluded to this when you talked about sharing with your mother that you were getting married and the ways in which you've repeated that. So tell us a little bit about what the mother wound is and why it's important for us to recognize and heal it.
Absolutely. So essentially, if you think about it, when we're gestating a baby, when we're growing a baby, we're not just growing the physical aspects of the baby. We're actually growing all aspects of the baby. It's a consciousness transfer. So, which can make every mom or every to-be mom, like, tighten up and hold your breath, like, uh-oh, you know, like, but it's not a problem. So I wanted to say, like, this is actually the way that we seamlessly introduce our babies into our family systems, into our tribal systems, into the world, is through this osmosis transfer within us, so that when they land in the world, they kind of have a sense of, like, oh, this is what this whole place is about. Okay, cool. Thank you so much for that information. So now, that information that you're transferring is your ancestral patterning, your own state of consciousness, what you believe to be true about yourself and your world, and, you know, your feelings about yourself, because your child's in there, like, just, like, it's like a theater happening, and they're just in there for 10 months in theater, like, wow, this is really interesting in here in this consciousness bubble. So now, if you just look back over human history, you might see that there's been some abuse of women. There's been some denigration. There's been some control and suppression and, you know, disempowerment at all levels. So a person, any person who's been disempowered or treated badly or abused, the state of consciousness inside of them is reflecting that abuse and some beliefs that go along with it, like I don't feel worthy, you know, I'm not loved, I'm not wanted, I'm not heard, I'm not seen. And now you could imagine how generations of that experience produce children who also have these innate fears. And we know from psychology that, in fact, that those are the fears that every single human on the planet has. And so I want to just suggest that somewhere back in history that wasn't true. And then it started becoming true through some kind of systemic control of women and suppression of women in the divine feminine. And I would say that for people who are maybe Celtic or European, that was happening around the time of the witch burnings. So there was a culture of women deeply connected to the earth, deeply connected to their wisdom handed down for generations about which plants were useful for which, you know, which illnesses, which things could support your body, which couldn't. What do you do with, you know, how do you honor the moon so that, you know, your womb is healthy? You know, all of these kinds of rituals and knowings that were prevalent at some point in all of our ancestries. But then right about, like I said, for the Celtic and for the European people, this got decimated with the witch burnings. So now what? Where's our wisdom now? Mm. And not only where's our wisdom, but now we're birthing babies in pain and fear, because now we're terrified of anybody saying that we might be a witch. So, okay, disown and dishonor and don't listen to your grandmothers and don't listen to your mothers and just take all that wisdom and throw it in the ground and bury it, because it's not safe to know what you know anymore. Mm. It's not safe to know it anymore. You've got to pretend like you don't know anything. You got to pretend like you're small, disempowered. And over the time of pretending, it becomes the reality. Mm-hmm. But something deep inside from our ancestors is still in our bones saying, that's complete BS. You know what you know, girl.
Yep.
And now you're a mother. You better remember it, because your child needs you to remember. Mm. That's what happened to me, was that recognition that, wow, there's more here. And we got to get through the fear to reverse all of those generations of disempowerment and get back to the ancestors in our lineage who knew what they knew, the women who stood on the earth barefoot, connected, not afraid, in their power, in their love, and in their divinity, and bring it right here, right now. That's healing the mother wound. That's essentially why much of the healing the mother wound has to do with reconnecting with earth, reconnecting with ancient ancestry, and doing tons of ancestral healing as well as inner child healing, so that we step forward as sovereign beings instead of as disempowered individuals.
And this is huge, Carrie. This is why I've shifted my work to focus on the mother change, because I think that for many women, this is the genesis of when that inner wisdom starts to come out, because we do get cracked open, and trauma will do it, loss will do it, really any type of challenge or hardship will do it, which is why when I work with women, we always look at the crucibles that they go through in life, because that's usually where the wisdom starts to peek out, because it's where we're cracked open enough that we start to remember, we start to tune in, because it's like a do or die moment. It was interesting when you were talking about what's hidden inside and how it hasn't been safe to remember. I think about myself and a lot of the women that I know who have on paper been very, very successful, because those are achievements that are safe for us to hold by society. It's when I start to work with women who are entrepreneurs and they begin to go down a path of, well, this is the business that I think I should have because I can make money, because I can talk about it to my friends, because this feels accessible for me. That's usually where people get burnt out and disillusioned, because they're not weaving that thread in of like, what is the core deep wisdom? And as you said, it's all inside. It's all in them already. We just have lost the art of tuning into that. And you're right, there probably was a point in history when we were in a matriarchal society where women were celebrated from a very young age for that intuitive wisdom. It's interesting that you brought in the plant knowledge and the being in the body, because I'm actually preparing right now to do another round of IVF, and I'm taking a spacious few months to really work with my body. And so I'm doing womb healing every night and working with teas and herbs. And it's been fascinating just to see what wisdom bubbles up when we create that space to connect with the soma in that way, and in a way that's more earth-based. So thank you for weaving all of that in, because I think it's so beautiful and potent.
Yeah, I mean, I love that you brought in the entrepreneurship, because I was also an entrepreneur, you know, because really early on I realized this corporate structure thing doesn't match with me. I don't like sitting under fluorescent lights. I don't like going to these endless meetings. I don't want to be in here. So I thought, I'm just going to get freedom, you know. So the first thing I wanted was freedom for myself. And so I arranged a situation so that I was able to start to get paid as a consultant instead of an employee during a company merger. And from that moment forward, I was in more power for myself, because I didn't need to play along, you know, with the games that were going on. I was able to claim my own power, and if they wanted my gifts, they were gonna have to pay me for them. So I had this, I also had a very strident beginning in my college, because I went to Smith College, and Smith teaches you to like take no prisoners, you know, you will be empowered. And so, you know, I was in that space of like, I'm going to be in my power. But I was doing a lot of things from the mental space, from the mind, which is the acceptable paradigm in a patriarchal society to work from your mind. I also want to point out that there's also this archetype of the good daughter, you know, so when you're a good daughter to your father, there's that, you know, you can really skate by. And what does the father energy appreciate is industriousness and achievement and goal orientation and, you know, all the things that, you know, money and prosperity, you know, all of those things. The father figure appreciates that, which is why our whole culture is built on that.
You just described my relationship with my father. I'm just like over here laughing.
it's like what? So that's what that is. But where does the mother live in this world? She's invisible. Like the mother doing her job, the best, is invisible about it. Just think about that for a second. Because if the mother says, look at all I've done for you, well, that's a guilt trip. Can't do that. If the mother says, I've got other things to do right now for myself, well, that's selfish. So the role that's carved out for mothers is to be completely selfless, to be completely giving, to bend over backwards to help everybody else, to be outwardly focused on everybody else. And we've been trained for this since we've been kids, right? To entertain, to please, to look the part, and to be there for everybody else before you're there for yourself. What happens in motherhood is that is called forth as total BS because you can't do that and actually serve your children. You will go insane. And so you have to do self-care in order to survive motherhood. And as you start to claim that for yourself, the ones that claim that for themselves get healthy, and the ones that keep being selfless, they lose themselves more and more and more every day until at the end of that, when the kids leave the nest, they don't know who they are anymore. And they say, I don't even know what I like to do anymore. I forgot. And I don't know what to do with all this space in this empty nest, because all I've been doing my whole life is doing for everybody else, and I don't know what's me. This is also a huge part of the mother wound. Luckily for me, I had that Smith training early on that said, and I had a mom too who was like, you know, she was the black sheep. So here's where being a black sheep is helpful. Because if you can bring in that energy of the black sheep, or I like to call it the rainbow sheep, then you're an instigator. You're someone who's like, you know what? That's not working for me. I recognize it's not working for me. My body is telling me it's not working for me, or my mental emotional state is telling me it's not working for me. So I'm going to find what works for me. And that's the energy of the mother that puts things in right relationship. So because you're the center of the family, like, why are moms always in the middle? Because mom is in the middle because you're peace. You're the connective glue. That's just who you are. And you can't be that if you're not in yourself, like if you're not loving yourself and caring about yourself. You can't be the connective glue for the family. Mm-hmm. And then the family gets wobbly and it gets divisive. So the only way for the family to be really strong is to be that mama tree, deep mm-hmm. roots, grounded, present, and sure of yourself. Then everything falls into place.
Yep.
But if you're not like that, you'll have the rocky marriage I had.
Yeah. So... Gosh, Carrie, I love the way that you describe all this, and I want us to go a little bit deeper into why women struggle to claim this for themselves. But before we do, as you were speaking, I had this remembrance of, so whenever I get sick, my house falls apart around my family. And the day that I am better, I look around and I'm like, it is dirty. The dishes are not cleaned. My child is running all around and he's naked and I don't know where his clothes are. And like, it's literally chaos because I went down for a couple of days. And as you were describing the connective glue, that's the perfect analogy, because when my husband gets sick, that doesn't happen. And I adore my husband. I mean, we've been together for like 15 years now and I love him for who he is, but he's not the connective glue of the family. Like, that is 100% me. And yet, as women, as mothers, even though we know we're exhausted, even though we know we need more support, there's such resistance to receiving it. There's such resistance to A, looking within and even asking what it is that we need, B, actually asking for it externally, and then C, allowing ourselves to actually receive it. You know, because sometimes help is offered and we just don't accept it because we feel guilty. We feel like it's a sign of lack of worth. So I'd love to talk about that a little bit, because yeah. You have a lot of experience here. So why is it that as women, we don't allow ourselves to receive what we need?
Because this is really about the mother wounds and the conditioning. You know, it's the conditioning in the family. It's the conditioning that, you know, it depends on the family you came from, right? So every family has different versions, different threads of the mother wound that are expressing. But in my family, my mom was really, my mom and my stepdad it was all about their love and their relationship. And they did their best to include me, right? Because they were always doing these things like three-way hugs, like making it clear, like I'm wanted, you know, I'm the stepchild, but I'm wanted and everything's good. But there was this element of like performance. So when I was performing well, like doing really good grades and things like that, and I wasn't causing any problems, and I was like, sort of just being the model child, everything was fine. When I started to, as a teenager, I started to break out of that. And that's when all the problems started in my family because I started pushing against the edges and I started being bad, you know, like bad. Like I would do things that my parents didn't want me to do. And there wasn't like a way of talking me through it. So it depends on how well your family was able to talk you through conflicts to get to the other side where you're at a resolution where everybody understands each other and you're wanted all the way through and it's clear you're wanted all the way through. And that's how you get to the space, is that you cultivate the comfort within yourself with discomfort and with conflict. I was conflict avoidant, okay? So, and I think a lot of women are conflict avoidant. It's like we sense the conflict in a space. We feel it, we perceive it before it even happens, and we're like walking the other way or walking around it or already trying to please or soothe around the situation so that it doesn't become a conflict. So if you imagine that, and now you're feeling sick and you are like noticing things are falling apart, you have to reach into conflict, even, you know, is that asking to rectify the situation? Like, hey, I really need support with the house since I'm sick. I